Good morning, and we would like to welcome our radio audience to the sanctuary of Trinity United Methodist Church. This morning's radio ministry is sponsored by Sandy Hall in honor of Andrea and Joe's anniversary, and our flowers this morning are provided by Debbie Paffenberger in honor of Neil's birthday. If you are blessed by this radio ministry and you would like to support it, your gift may be sent to Trinity United Methodist Church at 333 South Chestnut Street, and any gifts that you may be able to provide would be greatly appreciated. This morning's scripture reading is going to be from Matthew chapter 25, verses 36 through 40. I'm going to be reading from the NIV version. It's a little bit of a change from our bulletin this morning. Pastor was led a different way, and that's okay. God leads us all. And then her message this morning, her sermon, will be Something is Happening, followed by her response, Church, Take Me Back by Cochran & Company. Alrighty, so this morning's scripture, like I said, from Matthew 25, verses 36 through 40 state, I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit with me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? The king will reply, Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. The word of God to the people of God.
Praise be to God. I had a front row seat to witnessing what exactly that scripture meant the past couple of weeks. Now comes the congregation participation part. And if y'all don't participate, I'll preach for an hour and a half. What words do you think of when I say home?
Comfort.
Comfort.
Safety.
Good one.
Family.
Okay. How about when I say church? What words come to mind for you?
Family.
Woo! Across the board. Okay. I'm a little loud. Sorry about that. How about when I say community? What words come to mind for you?
Involvement.
Growth. Pardon me?
Growth.
Good one. For me, community is home, is church, is the body of Christ, and we as Christians are called to be in this world, not to be so spiritually minded that we are no earthly good. We are called to wear this world like a loose garment. We should be spending a percentage of our time with people who are non-Christian so that we can be salt and light to the world, so that we can build and develop community, so that we can develop community inside and outside the walls. Because, beloved, home and church are not the building. We have an absolutely gorgeous building, and I am in love with it. But this building is not the church. You are. You, as the body of Christ, are the church. And we need to be the church for the world. My prayer lately is the prayer of Jabez. Lord, increase our territory. And I believe that'll happen. It won't happen in one fell swoop. But we have seen people who have started coming on a regular basis. Elizabeth is a good example. Brittany pops in now and again. We are seeing some fruit from our efforts. As Christians, we are called to be that witness in the world and to use words when necessary. I adored all the time that I spent on the mission trips, but most especially at Redbird. I've always wanted to go there, but I've not made it. As Mark said, our host family was incredible. And though they were lacking in financial means, they were not lacking in love, in community, in family. Renee cooked us absolutely the best meal ever, right, Mark? It was awesome. Beans and cornbread and sliced cumbers and pickled beets and something called chow chow. I'm still not sure what was in the stuff, but it was really good and it was canned in a jar. I was like, yum. It was amazing. They came out and talked to us. We prayed with them in the morning, and then Renee would come out and spend a lot of time with us. Mrs. Caldwell was in her 70s and had CPOD, so coming out into the heat was a little difficult. We all spent time talking with her. And what I saw in this family was, first and foremost, Renee loved her mama so much that she stayed there. She chose not to work and stayed there and care for her mother. There were five kids in that family, and her mom was adored by all of them. All of them came and checked. She showed me picture after picture after picture of family times together, of mom's birthday, of Christmas and Thanksgiving. We are lacking that in this nation. We are lacking that type of connection. And maybe due to work, due to families being spread out, we don't have that anymore. But we need to build it within our church and within our community. After we got done eating, Renee called everybody in her family to tell them that she had all this food. Come and get some. Come and get some. Rather than hoarding and holding on to the little they had, they gave all that they had every single time. I agree with absolutely everything Mark said about them. And we also got the opportunity to meet with another family. We went over there after we were done one day and got to meet with them. Elsie, or Mitch, was our crew leader. And he kept telling me about this youth leader that he had that were like a second set of parents to him. And I'm telling you, these crew leaders and these folks at Redbird, they know the Word of God. They know it. We got into all kinds of biblical conversations. I absolutely love that because I don't get a chance to just sit and discuss the Bible and how God works with people as often as what I would like to. So while we were working, while we were painting, while we were doing anything else, we discussed Jesus. We discussed that community. Like Mark said, the community is rampant with drugs. We think in the more rural, smaller areas that there is no drug problem. It is actually opposite because that's where it's cooked. That's where it's grown. That's where it's made. That is where people have nothing to do but to get in trouble with drugs unless there is something given to them. And this couple, Matt and Jessica, they lit my soul on fire because they showed me what home, what church, and what community was about. Both Jessica and Matt grew up with dysfunctional families. Jessica, at 3 years old, her father almost died because he was given cocaine laced with rat poisoning. They were sure that he was going to die. Her mom was the last of 12 and struggled a lot in raising her. Towards the end, she finally turned to her Aunt Belle and said, please help me finish raising my baby. So she spent a lot of time with her uncle and her aunt. Matt, he was beaten, starved, left alone, had absolutely no guidelines, and has the sweetest spirit. His father threw him through a plate glass window, causing 300 stitches in his head. And it also caused what Jessica and Matt referred to as episodes. He has seizures that you can't see physically because they happen in his brain from the traumatic brain injury. When he awakes from the seizure, he has a panic attack. And then he becomes really paranoid afterwards. It became apparent that with these seizures, it was going to be very difficult for him to do too much. So Jessica finally took him to a doctor who told him he was disabled, and he refused to listen to the doctor about it. He was a man. He was going to work. He was going to provide for his family. And I respect that. And Jessica cried, and she begged. At this point in time, he was still drinking and using. And she finally told him, you make your choice. It's me and your children, or it's your drugs. Take your pick. And he said he wanted to change. Now, that's a whole lot harder when we actually put ourselves in that mix. She had to lock him up for a month because he just lost it. And all the meds they gave him just made things worse. He has a beautiful German Shepherd, sweetest thing I've ever seen. When he has one of these episodes, that German Shepherd will lay on top of him until someone else comes to take care of him. Here's the part that I fell in love with. About the time that the bottom had fallen out of their lives, Aunt Belle tells Jessica, don't you give up on him. Do not give up on your husband. He has work to do for God. And Jessica already knew that. She knew that he was supposed to work with youth. God had told her that. But she couldn't handle much more of this. She kept begging him to go to church, and he finally did. A revival broke out that lasted 3 weeks. 40 people came to Christ, and 80 people were baptized. And then the real power started. They got moved into Uncle Buck and Aunt Belle's house, and children began flocking to them. They have raised up 33 children thus far. On the weekends, in this small little house, which, by the way, Mark helped build a room onto that house, and there was no provision for that when we got there the beginning of the week. They were supposed to do roofing and siding. And there was an excellent team there. And they took up a collection. There wasn't a whole lot of us there. They took up a collection that ended up being enough to build a room on, because they had just adopted one young lady, and there were three teenagers that they had been in the process of fostering. And then when family realized money could come from that, they tried to bring them back. One of these was a 15-year-old mother with a 2-month infant. Jessica sat and cried about the fact that they had been pulled away. They built on a room on that house so that they can continue to foster children. Matt has children that flock to him because he takes the boys camping and to do all kinds of wildlife things. He has taught them to hunt. He has taken them fishing. He has made a difference in their lives. And just like I preached on Father's Day, beloved, you men are the most important thing in our society right now. There is such a lack of a good male role model across our country. There is such a lack. And that makes all the difference in both boys and girls. Girls are 20 times more likely to be promiscuous if they did not have a good male role model. Boys are 10 times more likely to be violent, to go to jail, to have domestic violence issues, to have drug issues, if there was not a good male role model. Jessica tells me that when she was young, She learned the value of saying the sinner's prayer. She said, you know, I never thought that I had strayed from God. And when I was in eighth grade, I was babysitting for this couple that had an open marriage. And she said, all of a sudden, things started happening. I felt like I was outside of my body, watching myself do things. And I listened and I prayed because I knew exactly what she was talking about. She said, I felt such oppression that I felt like I was in jail and I could not break free. Her daddy came to pick her up and she had just freaked out. She had started throwing things. He said, that is not my daughter. They prayed over her and she was told to pray the sinner's prayer, to ask Jesus to come into her heart. She said, here I'd gone to church. I didn't feel I ever strayed from God. I didn't think I needed to say that prayer. But you know what? Each and every one of us is a sinner in word, thought, or deed. And we do need to ask Jesus to come in and clean up our lives. And frequently, broken people feel, I have to get right with God before I can go to church. And beloved, I want to tell you, because somebody's going to say that to you when you invite them to church. You need to look them in the face and say, I am praying for you, and you cannot get right with God without God. I absolutely loved watching them. They said they would have 15 kids through that house from Friday to Sunday. She would take the girls and go into one of the small rooms because most of the kids that came were boys. She'd had a couple girls, and she stayed in the small room with the girls, and the boys were all over the place. They were laying on chairs. They slept on the kitchen table. They slept under the kitchen table. That is going to so change that little community. It will cut the crime rate. It will cut the drug rate. A community is created by people who gather, share, learn, and grow. A community invites strangers to dinner, invites neighbors to sit out on the front porch, and sincerely asks the other to share their life story. Matthew 25 through 36 are Matthew and Jessica's favorite verses in the Bible, the favorite parable. And it reminds us how we are to truly care for one another in community. I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was homeless and you gave me a room. I was shivering and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you stopped to visit. I was in prison and you came to me. Through the words of Jesus and Matthew, we learn the very essence of how to care, how to welcome, how to share in companionship. Jesus welcomed many. He accepted, touched, welcomed, loved, healed, spoke to everyone he came across. The only people that Jesus ever had problems with were the hypocritical leaders that thought they were better and were leading people astray with what they were teaching. Other than that, whatever sin you may have committed, he still drew us in. I believe, for me as a pastor, I am called to love all people no matter where they're at, to bring them to the foot of the cross, to preach the whole truth of God. I've had colleagues handed a list of things not to preach because it could offend somebody, it could step on somebody's toes, and then we don't have butts in the pew and checks in the plate. Beloved, I pray that I never offend any of you with what I say. But if I do, it is your responsibility to come to me and talk to me and let us reason together. Because I have said enough times from this pulpit that that is never my intention. I was told once that at least once a month, We should go to church and leave feeling convicted, not condemned. Condemned is the evil one. Convicted is the Holy Spirit stirring us towards change, stirring us to become better people, better sons and daughters, better community, better family. So if I do step on a toe, I am very approachable. I am very easy to talk to. Come, let us reason together. Personally, I don't care what differences and similarities we may have. I am called to love everybody right where they're at, draw them in close, feed them the Word of God, and let the Holy Spirit do the cleaning. My professor used to say, let the Holy Spirit do the heavy lifting. You know, in antiquity, hospitality was extremely important. It was so important that if you were not hospitable, you shamed your entire family. I saw in this community people who had little to nothing give all that they had and be hospitable. I saw youth in groups stand up and read the Bible and do devotions as if they had been preaching. It was amazing. Other groups reached out and talked to us, asked, how'd your project go? We had one group, and I told Mark, when we take a group down next time, I want to do that. We had one group that their church, and it was two churches together, met every evening and did a devotional. Somebody different in the group did it, and then they sang hymns together, either a cappella or they played it in a background music. And Mark and I were invited to go to that. It was awesome. That is hospitality. We need to reach out and ask people to come to church with us. We need to reach out and ask people, how can I pray for you? Leave a little note on their door when we're having some kind of function. Because we don't know how much time we have until Jesus comes back. And it is my vision that we gather up as many unsaved as humanly possible and bring them to the foot of the cross before he does return. Welcome is one of the signs the community is alive. Hospitality, being excited, means our church is alive and doing well. To invite others to live with us, to worship with us, is a sign that we are not afraid, that we have a treasure of truth and a peace to share. And beloved, I have never met a church that knows the word and lives it. I'm a life applicable preacher. In other words, I'm going to read you the scripture. Then I might expound upon it a little bit, but most of my message is going to be about how you live it out. And this church lives it out very well, very well. We have what people are hungry for. We just have to have enough faith and belief. When they had this revival there, this three-week revival where 40 people were saved and 80 people were baptized, in this small little community, the preacher stood up and said something that I agree with. The problem with folks today is they no longer have the faith and belief to believe the stuff in this word. They no longer believe that Jesus saves, that he can forgive anything. They no longer believe that healing and miracles take place. And I'm telling you, I have seen miracle after miracle after miracle. This young man, Matt, has been clean and sober 17 years now. His wife did not give up on him when he was seeing things, when he was freaking out, when his PTSD was so bad he couldn't even talk. She stayed right by him. And the fruit is born of that. Because in this past year, they have changed at the very least 33 lives. And there's more that are coming every day. And those lives will be changed too. Just the same as when we have people in here. Those lives are changed. I love this next song. Take me to church, where the people there have seen me at my worst. That is family. That is community. Like Terry said, she has seen me at my best and my worst, and she has helped hold me up. My best friend, several churches ago, came to me and said, God told me I was to be your Aaron. God help me. I laughed at her. I said, oh, you going to preach? She said, no. She said it again a couple months later. So I went to my mentor, because I had always been taught we're not supposed to get too close and too personal. And he said, let her. And what she was talking about was the story of Moses holding his arms over his head. And whenever he became tired, he let those arms come down. And they started losing the battle. So Aaron and Hur held up Moses' arms. Terry and Mark have held up my arms through some really rough times lately that I'm not quite ready to share yet. That is community. That is home. That is church. And this song right here is a perfect illustration of how we can be that to others. Really listen to the words. Embrace them. Enact them. Fall on your knees in gratitude for the church family that we have.